Boy, are we ready for spring. We have snowdrops blooming along the driveway of our studios in Woods Hole. No doubt some snowflakes will be falling on them this afternoon. But gardeners everywhere are eagerly anticipating the start of the gardening season. And just when we think we can't wait any longer, we get that early dose of spring here in New England at the Boston Flower and Garden Show. The show runs Wednesday, March 13th through Sunday, March 17th at the Seaport World Trade Center. And joining us today to talk about this year's show and some of the trends in gardening and design is Catherine McDonald, president of the Massachusetts Horticulture Cultural Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Mindy, and thank you for having me.
Sure. And Paul Miskovsky, a horticulturist and a Mass Horticultural Society trustee. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning to you, Mindy.
All right. Let's talk about the theme for this year's show. It's Seeds of Change. But really, we're not changing. We're going back, right? It's like everything comes full circle, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I think it's a really interesting title that the theme is set by Paragon Group, who runs the show. And it's really interesting to see how each garden, each landscape designer reinterprets that theme. Mass Hort, we have an exhibit also, and our exhibit will be called Sowing the Seeds of Change. And it's really a walk through time with Mass Hort and horticulture over 184 years. And what we've done before is what we're doing now.
Yeah, and let's talk about, before we get into some details about what we're going to see this year, Mass Hort has had some controversy in the past, not having the money to produce a show. You mentioned Paragon's now doing it. Give us a little bit of history and what's happened and where we are now.
Well, I think we're really at a very good point right now. Massachusetts Horticultural Society still manages for Paragon all the amateur competitions. And I think that's great because our job really is to engage the public in horticulture. And so, you know, we really enjoy doing that and being able to focus on that alone. And we have probably 300 competitors through amateur horticulture, floral design 1 and 2, photography. We'll have an ikebana display as well as miniature gardens. So this is the chance for everyday people to come and show their favorite plant or floral arrangement from their hobby. So it's a good opportunity for people.
I always enjoy that part too, because people can be so creative and you get such great ideas looking at what everybody else puts together. And yeah. I think people might not know that, Paul, but you love to do floral arrangements yourself.
I should say that I think Paragon Productions, they do a very nice job with the show. And it's at the World Trade Center, which is a different place than most people are used to going to see the flower show. So I last year, for instance, one of my friends said, "Hey, I was down at the Bayside looking for you," and so it's not there anymore. So right. You know, people put that in the back of your brain. It's at the World Trade Center, which is on the waterfront.
Yeah, which is a beautiful spot there.
Yeah, it is.
All right, so this this Seeds of Change theme for this year's show, a lot of this is focusing on food, on growing and producing and eating your own food, which is so huge, right? This local food movement is so huge. So some of the things we're looking at, Kathy, are not, oh, you're tearing up your lawn, but portions of your lawn. If you don't have, we're talking about vertical gardens. We're showing people how you can grow some of your own food, no matter where you live, right?
Right. That's really important. And one of our programs that we started a couple of years ago called the Garden Table Program really does just that. It really helps people learn how to cultivate a vegetable garden and then learn how to cook and preserve from the garden and enjoy healthy local foods. Additionally, I don't know if you know that we also have the Wellesley Farmers Market is the Mass Hort Farmers Market, and it's located at Whole Foods in Wellesley, Mass.
Interesting. And then you also have some local chefs that are going to be coming in and talking about what to do with some of you. Okay, what, I grew this parsnip, now what do I do with it? Right.
Yes, we've done, at Mass Hort, we've done tastings where we do have chefs come in. As a matter of fact, I think on the 9th this weekend, we have a program with Tufts in Boston where we're going to have a master gardener, come talk about growing kale. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to have a chef come in and do his magic to show the wonderful things people can make with kale that you probably would never have thought of. Mm-hmm. So it's people need the education to really know what to do with what's in their garden. And that's something we're also trying to help with.
Right. It was part of your mission.
Yes.
Education. All right, Paul, your exhibit is Some Things Never Change is what you're calling
yeah,
it?
Yeah, Some Things Never
All right,
Change.
How'd you come up with that? Tell us a little bit about
Well, you know, the seeds of change, and I look at the trends and I look at, you know, sort of where gardening and horticulture and agriculture are all going, and we're starting to merge all these things together. You know, people are putting raised beds in their front yards, and they're cutting out, you know, they're pulling out the shrubs and they're growing tomatoes along the edge of their house. And, you know, so everything is kind of getting back to where it used to be. Mm-hmm. And so that's, you know, that's why I named, that's why I said, you know, some things never change, because we are getting right back to where we started. And that, and I'm very happy to see that, because in my mind, I think we're losing a lot of our audience. You know, it's the older generations that really knew how to do all these things, and our kids and you know, the 16, the 18, the 20-year-old people, they don't really know how to do all these things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we can represent this at a flower show and say, hey, okay, here's some raised beds, you know, here's, you know, it's within 20 square feet and you can grow X, Y, and Z, and it's really not that complicated. So that's sort of, you know, why, you know, we're going to have a chicken coop that'll, you know, be really compact. That'll be at the show, and we're going to use Eric's chickens, and it's going to be really fun.
Chicken coops are in right now. I mean, these are people that do chickens, beekeeping, but chickens especially. Everybody wants to have chickens.
Absolutely. And again, one of our workshops that MassHort will be running out in Dover this spring will be on how to build your own chicken coop. And so I think that'll be really popular. I think it was a couple of weekends ago we did how to build your own coal frame. And people were really interested in that and really want to learn how to do things for themselves. So it should be fun.
You know, Paul, you just mentioned young people and them not really knowing a lot about gardening. Like, you know, when you have those tomato seeds that have been handed down, those heirloom tomatoes that have come from, you know, your great-great-grandfather in Italy or whatever, and the kids not knowing. These kids' programs and the community gardens are so important. I know we've done some shows in the past with some, you know, the Martha's Vineyard, the Farm Institute, and some other areas which are bringing kids into the garden. And it is amazing what your kid will eat when they grow it.
Oh, yeah.
Like my own daughter would not, well, still, now she's grown, but she will still not eat broccoli from the store, but she will eat it from the garden. She says it tastes different.
Yeah, well, it usually does. It is remarkable, you know, what an impact, because I've been involved with a couple of programs locally, you know, with kids and the agriculture. I'm sort of on the periphery of it, but it's really seeing the kids smile and get so excited about something very simple, you know,
when they
like
see
a plant.
That bean sprout come up.
Exactly.
866-999-4626 is our toll-free number if you'd like to join our conversation this morning. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. So we mentioned raising chickens is popular, and beekeeping. This is another area that has just gone crazy. And you're going to be looking at beekeeping in the show, right?
I don't have anything to do with the beekeeping, but I think Catherine...
I think there is a presentation on beekeeping at the show.
Yeah.
One of the lectures will be on beekeeping.
I mean, you're really running a gamut here, aren't you,
with
all these different things. Another trend that we see is making our gardens more ecologically friendly. So more organic pest treatments and fertilizers. And I'm sure that's something you're seeing from your master gardeners as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, people would rather not use chemicals. I mean, every now and then you have to use something like that. But if you can use pyrethrums and some of the botanicals, you know, it's a lot healthier to work with. Mm-hmm. You're not risking other people, and you know, you don't have things that are persisting in the soil and stuff like that.
You have a healthier
garden. Yeah, ultimately, yes.
Yeah, the plants can battle the pests and disease on their own.
You know, it's interesting. We to run the greenhouse for the forcing at my property, we had Bartlett Tree come in, and they brought in ladybugs, and they brought in like all kinds of, you know, interesting insects to combat the other insects that were eating my plants. And the roses are spotless, and
nice.
just remarkable.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people don't, you know, you go to these flower shows and you say, wow, look at everything. Everything's so perfectly in bloom all at the same time. There's a real science to that. That's got to be, the planning that goes into that must be incredible.
The flower show dance.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, Jen started the vegetable seeds. That was 6 weeks ago. And, you know, my azaleas, a portion of them, the Karomo Shikibu azaleas, are in my garage because they were coming too fast. And the PJMs are in there. And I've got the yellow Cotinus is in there because it was coming into bloom.
So you see them. So you put them in a cooler spot. Is that the idea?
Yeah.
Slow it down?
Yeah. And the X-berries just broke bud this morning, which was remarkable. And
so do you find yourself sometimes where something doesn't work out? You go, that's bloomed. I'm going to have to find something else to put in there. So you do have to scramble sometimes.
Well, you have to. Ultimately, you have to overforce. I mean, for instance, my garden that we're going to build is 1,800 square feet, and I have my greenhouse has, it's 3,000 square feet, and it's jam-packed with layers of plants. So tomorrow we'll make some decisions on what's going to stay and what's going to go, and Mm. And, you know, every day it's different.
Yeah, I wish I had known that because, you know, on these snowy days, you know, I go into some of the garden centers just because, you know, I have to see something blooming and green. I could walk through your greenhouse and get this.
It's like Costa Rica in there right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Catherine, you have, it's not just Paul's garden. Mm-hmm. You've got a number of big gardens like this that will be in the show, along with some smaller things. So there's how many big gardens do you have?
I only have, well, there's, I don't know, Paul. How
seven?
Many
large? Something like that?
Well, the Mass Hort has one garden with I think, how many
seven
designers?
Garden seven garden vignettes in it. So I have seven designers I'm working with.
Right. So you've got seven different ideas, and mm-hmm. and they all have a different theme, like Paul's is some things never change, and they've all picked whatever their theme is. So you are going in there, what, Friday?
Right.
And then you've got how many people all scrambling in there to put their things together?
Well, we're only one exhibit. Like Paul, there are how many major garden
exhibits? I think there's 20-some-odd exhibits on the floor.
There's probably 20 exhibits on the floor. Paul has his own. Mass Hort has one exhibit. Mm-hmm. But within my exhibit, and our exhibit's name is Sowing the Seeds of Change, mm-hmm. which is a look at Mass Hort over its 184-year history and how we have changed with horticulture to meet the needs of society. And we've broken that into seven garden vignettes. It's really more like a historical exhibit.
I love it.
And let the designers interpret that period that we're talking about and that change point. And the same thing like with Paul. We have three greenhouses full of plants. We finally put our azaleas and rhododendrons on roll carts because we've been rolling them outside to hold the blooms. Mm. So it's not only a science, it's an art for the people that really do this well.
Well, see, that's one thing, it's like a dance. You've got all these people working on their own gardens. You're bringing these, mm-hmm. I was watching one being set up, and I don't remember if it was Rhode Island or Boston a couple years ago, where they had this sand sculptures.
Oh, yeah.
And they were working on these, and you're just thinking, oh my God, somebody walks by with a tree and knocks that out. You know, it's like, it is like a dance, but you've got hundreds, right? Hundreds of people all scrambling in there at the same time putting these gardens together.
Right.
That's
right?
Correct, yes.
Yeah. Do you ever run into trouble? Is it all smoothly? Is that dance always flawless?
we're actually the first group into the building because of the fact that we're the furthest into the building.
Ah.
So we'll be in Boston. I think we're going to try to get into the building about 5 a.m. on Saturday morning with trucks, trailers. And so ultimately what ends up happening is as the show builds out and the gardens start coming together, the alleyways that access all those start disappearing.
Oh, boy.
Because and it's not out of character for us to have to move, you know, all the plants that we brought in and staged on the floor. We would probably have to move those anywhere from 3 to 5 times before they ultimately get into the gardens. And, you know, so
wow.
It's really
so how big, just looking at your one section there, your 1,800 square feet, how many people in your crew do you think?
Well, I have my own group of six people, and then I've been very fortunate to have a great relationship with the master gardeners. And then I've got, you know, there's going to be a manager from a car dealer. I've got a PhD, a couple of PhD people. I've got.
So these aren't necessarily, these are gardeners.
They're volunteers.
There's some
homemakers and, you know, people from all walks of life. So I think on any given day, we'll probably have somewhere in the area 25 to 30 people working on the garden.
It always amazes me. They bring these great big trees and, you know, rocks, these boulders. It's like, it's amazing when you think of how much stuff is moved in there for this show. Kathy, I'm going to talk a little bit about your display because I love this going through history. So it goes back to the beginnings, correct, of the 184 years ago.
Right.
So let's talk about what the seven sections are.
Okay. So the first section we call the beginnings or the market cart. And basically, as we've all been discussing this morning, of going back to the future, Massachusetts Horticultural Society was formed by farmers in 1829 who were trying to improve the quality and quantity of produce going into Boston's markets. So here we are doing the same thing again. So the market cart, the cart itself is going to be done by Whole Foods, mm-hmm. and they're going to have the produce in the market cart to show that error. The next garden vignette that we have is Mount Auburn Cemetery, and most people probably don't know this, but it was founded by Massachusetts Horticultural Society in 1831. And the reason we did that, again, was to solve another problem of society. They the burial grounds in Boston were getting overproduced, mm-hmm. over harvest or whatever you want to say.
Build out.
Yes, I guess that's the right word. And Mass Hort was looking to establish a garden of its own. So it established the Garden Cemetery, and it was the first one in the United States. Mm. And it was something that was being done in Europe.
And I didn't realize that.
And eventually it, you know, spun off as Mount Auburn, which is its own organization.
Right. Then you've got, what, 1843?
1843. There's a very fun story behind this exhibit. This is called Exhibitions. And this is the story of the flower show and the early flower and horticultural shows with Mass Hort, which I guess the largest one happened in Faneuil Hall, where farmers would bring also their produce and their fruits to be judged. In 1853, that's where the Concord grape got its first award with Mass Hort and really got accepted. And about 2 months ago, someone sent us a picture of their great-great-grandmother's entry into one of these flower shows. And it is a Victorian flower arrangement, which looks more like a funeral arrangement in my taste. But so we're going to recreate that exact floral arrangement. And again, what the conversation is, this is what we did in the past, and then walk through the conference center today at this show to see the floral designers of today.
So when we see this recreation, will the photograph be there as well? So they,
yes.
Oh, that'll be great.
Yes, it's more, think of it more of a museum exhibit,
right.
With gardens and very with cool. information. And we talk about yesterday, and then we talk about today, how it's played forward in horticulture of today.
Okay, then you got the window gardening movement.
Yes. So we just talked about children and trying to get children engaged in horticulture. Same problem back in 1878. And the Massachusetts Horticultural Society, under the leadership of a woman named Mrs. Wolcott, tried to get the children in Boston's tenements engaged in horticulture. So they had nurserymen, like the Pauls of the time, mm-hmm. and designers, donate plants for the children, and they would come into the Mass Hort and learn how to care for them. They'd take them home for their windows, and then they'd bring them back to be judged and win prizes.
That's a neat story. And then you've got the schoolyard movement?
Yes, yeah, so that was another movement, which was 1891, and that became a national movement. And it was the same thing that today we have schools calling us every day about, can you help us with a garden? Because it's been so wonderful to have children go out in their schoolyards, plant crops, and then make something. And again, it's that connection to their food, which really goes a long way. But that's the same thing we did back in the schoolyard movement was it was an effort to get children outside to enjoy the fresh air and to learn about horticulture and plant care.
Yeah. I was thinking back to my own childhood. There was a lot more gardens around. I remember our next door neighbor, he always had this beautiful big garden that had lots and lots of tomatoes. And I used to sneak on in there and mm-hmm. eat a lot of those tomatoes.
He probably knew about it, too.
Anyway, he was a good sport, I have to say. But boy, he grew some yummy tomatoes. And then we've got the vegetable gardens and victory gardens, 1930s and 40s.
Yes. So in the 30s, we were instrumental in Boston, especially in the impoverished neighborhoods, with gardens to help during the Depression, to help people with nutrition and to get good food to these people. And then during World War One and Two, we sponsored the Victory Gardens and actually had one on the State House lawn.
Oh, that's neat.
So again, back to helping people grow their own produce and eat healthy, nutritious food.
And then the last one is the Gardens at Elmbank, 1998 to today.
Yes. So we're celebrating our 15th anniversary at Elmbank, and the Gardens at Elmbank will be, actually Paul is the designer on that, and he'll be doing a miniature Bressingham garden to really show people garden design of today, mm-hmm. and how people can come out to Elmbank and learn about gardening and plants and really get to see them in location and get to learn about them.
Right. And then, Paul, what I think a lot of people don't know about you, too, is that you sort of have this whole design in your head. You think these things, and it's sort of a picture in your brain, right?
Yes.
So you're not writing this down.
No.
No. So you, I always wonder how you are able to communicate that to your team, It's like, no, that doesn't go there. That goes over there. I mean, how do you do that when you don't have a plan written down saying this is exactly how we're going to do this?
Yeah, well, I think, there is some discussion. And we talked, basically about the broad strokes. And typically the way it would go is we would set, in, let's say, this given space that we're going to do it at the flower show, for instance. We'll bring our kickboard in, which we were, we built over at Oysters 2 yesterday.
I saw you out there.
Out there blowing like mad. Yeah. And so we'll set that in, and I got a pretty good sense where we're going to end up setting a pergola, and the chicken coop we'll end up bringing in shortly after that. And then we'll plug in a couple of trees, a couple of the larger pieces, and then the garden will almost kind of build itself.
So you fill in. So as you're standing back and you're watching this and you're going, okay, the chicken coop's here, the pergola, and if it's not kind of jiving with what you have in your head, do you make adjustments, or are you pretty much right on when you?
We do some shuffling, mm-hmm. but not a lot. Mm-hmm. I recall, when I was doing a garden in Rhode Island one year, I wasn't happy with a back border. It just didn't look right to me. We ended up taking the whole damn thing out.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about pressure.
Talk about backbreaking work because we couldn't get a machine in there. But,
wow.
No, generally speaking, we make selections and they stay.
Yeah. 866-999-4626 is our toll-free number. We're talking about the Boston Flower and Garden Show. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@wgbh.org. One of the other things that I always find interesting about flower shows is you get to see examples of new plants. We see them in catalogs or magazines, and you think, yeah, but what does that look like in person? Sometimes those catalogs are a little bit deceiving. You think you get your plant, and it's like really small, and it's got big, it's enormous in the catalog. So there's a lot of new techniques and examples of things.
Aside from the fact that there are a lot of new varieties, for instance, this year we're going to show at the garden, I've got a Nepeta, which is a early blooming short catmint.
Mm.
And that's a new plant this year. I have a brand new Echinacea it's bright red. It's called Sombrero. It's really fun. And that's in full bloom right now. And we've got some new Tiarellas, which Sunny Border helped us with some of this new plant material, and some of it is really good. Some of it still needs to be worked out, but I think overall the idea that we just keep jumping into new plants and trying them out.
Right, and same thing goes with vegetables. I mean, I can't even imagine how many types of tomatoes there are. Every year I'm like, well, how many different species of tomatoes do we have? It's a lot.
It's quite a few. Absolutely. We do an event called the Gardener's Fair, and we have White Flower Farm brings probably 75 different heirloom tomatoes.
Wow.
It's just incredible.
That's amazing. And the other thing that's great, too, is along with all of these lectures and talks, there's the Master Gardeners Association, which hosts its ever-popular information booth, where you can ask all kinds of vexing gardening questions and get advice. And that's always got to be a big hit, I would think.
It's absolutely a big hit. And they do a wonderful job at it. And they are there with their resources and their books to answer questions, and also their general knowledge. And there's always lines at their booth. Mm-hmm. And it's really a resource that people should write down your problem. And when you come to the show, take a minute and ask them.
Yeah.
In addition, they also have a hotline and an email address that people can call or send questions to just at other times than the show.
Right. And I would say the Master Gardeners here at the Cape Cod Cooperative Extension, I have found them all. They are so interesting. And they, some of them have, and there was one Master Gardener I met last year whose his yard is practically all daylilies, but he's got all these amazing daylilies. But they're so happy to share their bits of wisdom and advice and, what they've learned along the year. So it's always great to chat with them. Let's talk to Laura, who's giving us a call from Kootuat. Good morning, Laura.
Hi.
Yeah, go ahead.
I just had two things. It was a wonderful show, and I wish it were on about, you had had these guys on about a month ago, because my weekend is booked.
Oh.
it sounds wonderful. The other thing, just for the Mass Horticultural Society, I just wanted to say I hope that they will consider putting together a book of history with photographs of these exhibits that they're doing, just because it sounds like such a fascinating view and would be such a... Right. I'm going to miss it. So.
Right, I was going to say, and Laura, for people who can't go, that would be a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So you are planning that.
That's something I could do. I definitely am planning to do it online.
Great. Yeah. All right, Laura, thanks for that suggestion.
Great suggestion.
And Laura, the flower show actually opens next Wednesday, which is the 13th, and it runs to, I think, the Sunday,
17th.
The 17th.
So maybe you can get there Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, we build the show this weekend, so it's organized chaos.
Starts next Wednesday.
That's
all right,
correct.
Laura, maybe you can make it. Thanks for calling. Wesley is in his car. Hi, Wesley.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good. I'm calling. I was actually wondering if there's anyone in the Flower and Garden Show that does an exhibit or show on mushroom cultivation.
Mm, interesting question.
I don't think so, but I know that Roger Swain's going to be at the show, and I know he knows a whole lot about mushrooms and that sort of thing. So you may want to look at the lecture schedule.
Yeah, you know what else, Wesley? Also, I know that they do some mushroom programs in Nickerson State Park, and I'm not sure if it's through the Cape Cod Museum of Natural History, but I would check that out because I know I've had a couple friends who've done that, and they said it's really great. But that's a good question. Thanks. So maybe something to think about to try to prompt somebody for next year.
Good
if it's
idea.
Not in this year. What happens to all those plants after the show's over?
They come home.
And so okay, so you don't throw them out.
No, oh, actually, okay. I got an email from.
Do you have
Carolyn.
A big sale? You
know? Well, no, we bring them back, and you know, at the end of the day, they're going to be experienced.
Right.
So they're actually worth more.
Oh, that's so funny.
So but I'm going to be donating some to a church down in Orleans, and I usually donate some to this. They use them at these different food pantries, you know, mm-hmm. to sell to generate money. So I've donated
that's
a bit of plant material, you know, from the gardens, and we're going to do the same this year. And then the rest of it comes home.
Right.
Some of it will go back into the house and the others, like, for instance, the Japanese maples, we'll leave those outside. They'll end up, the leaves will come off, and they'll put a new set of leaves on.
Right. Last 30 seconds. Anything else you want to add, Kathy?
Well, I do hope people will join us from the 13th to the 17th of March at the Flower Show. And please see the amateur competitions, which are in the conference center at the rear of the hall. Mm-hmm. I think it's really enlightening to see what all these people do. It's wonderful.
Yeah, totally. And we'll have a link up on our website to your website so that people can get more information if they need that. So again, it's the Boston Flower and Garden Show Wednesday, March 13th through Sunday, March 17th at the Seaport World Trade Center. That's key. It's a new spot in the last couple of years. Paul Moskovsky, who's horticulturist and Massachusetts Horticultural Society trustee, and Catherine McDonald, president of the Massachusetts Horticultural Society. Thank you both.
Thank you,
Good
Mindy.
Luck with
Thank
the
you,
show.
Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening. The Point airs weekdays at 9:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. We're also on Facebook at The Point, WCAI. Amy Vince produces The Point. Mindy Todd is executive producer. Production assistance from Jenny Junker. Music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter. The Point is a production of the Cape and Islands NPR stations, a service of WGBH.